Good evening, everybody. Hope you can see and hear me all right. Sorry I'm late. One of those days. I think it's going to be one of those weeks, but let's see. We should be broadcasting live onto Purge TV, so do let me know. Our little logo seems to be... There you go. Let's put our little logo back over there. I don't know why. It's so close to me. Anyway, I hope everybody had a good weekend. Thank you very much for tuning in. I can see some of you in the chat. Yes, Marty. Good, man. Thank you very much, Marty, for letting me know. And Paul Telford as well. Good evening to you. Thank you for tuning in. And Iwan and Angela, God bless you, my dear sister in Christ. And to Merv as well. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you to those of you... Well, actually, big thank you to Mr. Dowson, who filled in for Friday's show. Oh my gosh, what a weekend. So on Friday morning, I was outside. And I don't even know how I managed to do this. But I haven't got very good eyesight anyway. So I managed to get hit in the eye with a very thin branch that had thorns sticking out of it. And it hit me in my right eye. And I'm just going to throw it out there for all of these people that are absolutely obsessed with like the Illuminati and all that business. Because I see some of this sometimes. I saw someone comment on social media the other day. It was so funny. Like, I find this stuff funny. I know that all of these horrible underground secret societies exist. I know that the globalists are working their agendas against all of us. But like, you know, sometimes you just think... People just need to calm down, right? There was a guy on social media the other day and was like, you're in the... What did he say? I don't know if I was Illuminati or something. I don't know, right? But bear in mind, I'm always speaking out against these globalists. But it was because I did a video. And in this video, I put my hands together, right? Seriously, come on. I put my hands together. And I actually don't know a great deal about all of this conspiracy theory stuff. Right. You know, like, look, they call us conspiracy theorists when we speak out against things that are happening they don't want us to know about. I don't buy into that culture of, well, if it's not in the mainstream, it must be a conspiracy theory. I know that there are a lot of evil forces at play. But sometimes I think people just need to calm down a little bit. So this guy was going crazy because I put my hands together. Like, he found a video from years ago, like 7-8 years ago. Now, to be fair... Most of the videos that I do when I'm standing up or if I'm giving a speech or what have you, you'll see. Like, it's very difficult when you're speaking in public to just stand with your hands, like, at your side like that. You look weird. Like, you don't... Nobody just stands there with their hands like that. So you tend to move your hands and sometimes you put them together. And I put my hands together and this guy went crazy. Absolutely crazy. So anyway, he would have loved this. So Friday... I get hit in the eye with a branch with loads of thorns sticking out of it and it's scratched. I don't know if they call it like a cornea or whatever, but it was bad. It was not good. It was not pleasant. So I had to wear an eye patch over the weekend. I look like a pirate. But you can only imagine if my little friend on social media was to see that, would see me with the eye patch on, it would just confirm to them what they've always suspected. Because once... In 2016, I put my hands together. Crazy, crazy people. But anyway, Marty says, I thought you were after my title of the blind bigot. Very good, Marty. I'm not after your title, although I'm going that way. But yeah, no, it was an interesting few days with my eye patch. But it's all right now. Like, it's not great, but I can see. So thank you very much anyway to Mr. Dowson for stepping in on Friday. And sorry that I couldn't be with you, but I looked such a mess. Ridiculous. Who else have we got? Charles, good evening to you. I Jada. Yes, very good. Merv says, I managed to get grit in my right eye last Friday whilst motorcycling. I can guess how you felt. Oh, there you go. I guess Friday just wasn't our day, was it, Merv? Well, certainly not our eyes days. Josie says, Long John Jada. Yes, g'day to Kevin from Canada. Thank you for tuning in, Kevin. Actually, I wanted to send you a message about something that I saw come through. So... it's nothing, I just wanted to have a chat with you about something. I think you shared a link to a protest that you went to and I just wanted to make sure that I could use that, but I'll get in touch with you somehow. All right, folks, let's crack on with the show. I want to talk about mainstream media lies and spins. So I want to talk about Lizzo, right? Now, I don't know how many of you know what a Lizzo is. I didn't really know what a Lizzo was until recently, but apparently Lizzo is a recording artist. I don't want to say musician because I don't want to stretch that term to an unacceptable length. But yeah, apparently this is some sort of performer. I don't think I've ever heard any of her music. If I have, I wouldn't be able to tell you what it sounds like. But I don't listen to pop music anyway. I guess it's pop music or rap or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I don't listen to it. But I think I've shown you this before. I'm not sure, but so I've seen this person, right, pop up on social media, like, and across the mainstream media, time and time and time again. I mean, I'm not just talking like every few months, just incessant coverage of this person, unrelenting coverage of this person. Now, you might, if you know Lizzo, you might think the term unrelenting would probably apply to the fact that she's morbidly obese. You know me, like to call a spade a spade. She's morbidly obese. She's a performing artist. She's in the public eye. And so recently she's come out and said that due to... Siren's going past. She's come out and said that due to fat shaming, right? People fat shaming, body shaming and commenting on her weight, Lizzo has said she's on the verge of quitting. So I've got a fair amount to say about this, but you know my feelings on morbid obesity. I've never hidden them. Yeah, I've never hidden them. I don't buy into this bollocks that people are morbidly obese because they've got an overactive thyroid or there's something, you know, some imbalance. Do not pee up my leg and tell me it's raining. Yeah? Because I didn't come down with the last shower. This is nonsense. There is no way to maintain that level of morbid obesity unless you are taking in a huge amount of food and beverages, right? Calories, calorific content. There's no way. Don't go there. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. And I'm sick of people peddling the narrative that it does. I'm sick of it. Listen, people come in all different shapes and sizes. All different shapes and sizes. And some people are very comfortable being morbidly obese. But if there's one thing that I cannot tolerate, it's the fact that this is being promoted. Everything harmful is being promoted to adults and children. Adults, I don't really care too much because we're old enough and ugly enough to make our own decisions, right? We know that if we stuff our faces with that much food that we become morbidly obese and we sustain that level of weight, then we're probably going to die earlier than we ought to, right? It's probably going to put a strain on our... bodies and our organs that you wouldn't necessarily have if you ate a balanced diet, yeah? And if you weighed an acceptable amount. So adults can make that decision. They're free to make the decision. What bothers me is that this is being pumped out across the mainstream media. It's another spin of the mainstream media. And it's being directed at youngsters and children. Because they're trying to portray this as like positive body image, right? Not everybody's got to be a size zero. No, of course not. No one's a size zero. I don't know anyone who's a size zero. That's a term that I suppose originates in America, because in America they actually have like 0-4. I don't know anyone that's a size 4 in the UK, right? I just don't. But of course their sizes are smaller than ours in the US. So I guess like a 6 would be a 4 or a 4 would be a 0. I don't know. Anyway, I absolutely concur that it isn't wise or healthy for people to starve themselves to the point that they look anorexic so that they can strut down a catwalk. But how have we got to the point where we are being bombarded with these messages across the mainstream telling us that morbid obesity is a positive thing, right? So let me show you some of this. Let me show you some of what the mainstream media and has been pumped out on social media. Let's take a look at this. Right, so this is the latest headline that's coming out about Lizzo. It says, Lizzo says the extent of online hate over her body makes her want to quit fame. Now, lots of people might think, well, that's a really unfortunate headline. It's a really unfortunate set of circumstances that she finds herself in, whereby the level of hatred and comments about her body and fat shaming or body shaming or whatever you want to call it has driven her to the point where she wants to quit. She wants to quit her career. Well, let me just show you some of the headlines and show you some of the comments from the mainstream media that are pumped out across the board. All right, let me show you some of these. Let's just consider some of them. Because, you know, look, I don't, contrary to common belief, I don't hate anybody. I certainly don't hate this woman. I don't know this woman. I don't know her from Adam. I don't hate this woman because she's morbidly obese. I don't hate this woman because she's overweight or fat or whatever you want to call it. I don't have hatred for people about those kind of issues. I don't have hatred for anyone, right? But I honestly feel like there is a huge problem with the mainstream media propping these people up, putting these people on a pedestal, promoting these people. And that's what's damaging. And this is what people, this is why the mainstream media is so dangerous. Because take a look at some of these headlines, right? So look at this. This is Daily Mail. Daily Mail absolutely love this woman. Like, they love her. Here we go. Lizzo looks incredible. And there's the headline. Lizzo stuns in sparkly pink bodysuit during her special tour. Right? There's the first headline. Let's take a look at some more. Where are we now? Let's get rid of that one. Here we go. This is the US-UK celebrity page. Lizzo stuns in a bright neon bikini as she announces her search for big girls for new reality TV competition series. Right, Lizzo stuns. I mean, yeah, one might describe that as stunning. I can think of some other words. But anyway, let's keep going. Daily Mail again. Lizzo is a goddess. Lizzo stuns in a shimmering silver bodysuit during lively Met Gala performance. And there she is, bent over. I mean, you can see it. Right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. This is Cosmopolitan, UK. No words, just flames, hot. Lizzo stuns in new lace underwear, Instagram post. I purposely did not get the Instagram post. First of all, I'm banned from Instagram, so I couldn't have got you the post even if I wanted to. But secondly, I didn't want to go looking for the Instagram post of her in new lace underwear. I felt like the headline was enough. Let's keep going. This is Playbrain. This woman is on fire. And there she is, bent over, legs akimbo, all the things that you just don't want to see. Exclusive, Lizzo turns up the heat and stuns in a multicoloured one-piece swimsuit. Have you noticed the recurring theme? Stunning, stunning, hot, stunning, right? Let's keep going. Wow, Lizzo is on fire. This is the Daily Mail again. Lizzo shows off her sensational figure as she dances in a skimpy bikini. Again, sensational figure. Again, same word. Lizzo looks sensational in a neon yellow bodysuit during performance. Right? I don't know how many more of these I've got. I think I've got a couple more. Let's keep going. Let's keep plowing ahead. Oh my gosh. Lizzo oozes sex appeal in plunging lace-up bondage outfit for hit music festival. Seriously? Can we just take a moment, first and foremost, can we just take a moment to acknowledge as a group that the word oozes should probably never, ever, ever be coupled with the words sex appeal. I just don't feel like it's an appropriate match of vocabulary. But by the by, here she is in lace-up bondage gear, and the Daily Star are stating expressly that she is oozing sex appeal in plunging lace-up bondage gear. I mean, look, all right, so let's call this out. So you've seen, these are some, and let me say something here, right? Because I didn't have a lot of time before the show, but I wanted to cover this topic because I think it's important. I wanted to cover it. That, I gathered all of those little screenshots there in like 5 minutes before I came on this show. 5 minutes. There are thousands, I'm sure, thousands of other headlines praising this woman, you know, celebrating her shape, calling her stunning, calling her sensational, saying she's hot, saying she's on fire, all of that, thousands of them. I mean, I just found those because I thought it was a good selection, a good variation of people that have put it out as well, and a good selection to show you exactly what the mainstream are pumping out about this woman. So we go back to this, which is that Lizzo has said that the extent of online hate over her body makes her want to quit fame. So again, one might think that this is a terribly sad state of affairs, that this woman finds herself the subject of ridicule or, I don't know, judgment. Because when you're in the public eye, you're judged. Trust me. When you're in the public eye, you're judged. Whether you're in the public eye because you're a celebrity and you're a singer, or if you're in the public eye because you're an activist and you're slandered and persecuted like Muggins here. When you're in the public eye, people judge you. People judge your looks. People judge your size. People judge everything about you. I still get people who clearly can't win an argument, right? So you get all these people on social media, you get it all the time. People that can't win an argument because they don't have one, or because they know that our argument is too strong, so they can't win. And they'll just come on and just make some really pathetic jibe about how you look. Or you know, it's just like, and I always maintain, if you're in like the political realm, you've got to attack someone's looks, then you don't have a political argument, right? You really don't. This is a very different state of affairs. This woman is being promoted and hailed as some kind of god. They said the actual words, goddess. They described her as a goddess who is oozing sex appeal. So then what happens, right? What happens next? This is what happens next. This is Lizzo at an awards ceremony stating, I am the beauty standard, catch up. Now, again, one might applaud such an individual for having such a significant amount of, self-love and confidence, because that's a whole lot of confidence right there, to say that I am the beauty standard, catch up. But let's just be realistic here. That level of confidence, which in my opinion is completely unfounded, and I'm going to say this, I really don't care if I offend people by saying this, because I'm so sick of the mainstream media peddling these false narratives, peddling these falsehoods that are dangerous to people, dangerous. There used to be a time when we didn't promote morbid obesity because we knew that it damaged people's health to the point where it was killing them off, right? There used to be a time when we didn't promote morbid obesity because we didn't want the strain on our NHS. We didn't want people's organs packing up. We didn't want people dying early. Right? And just from a completely normal human perspective, it is not healthy to partake in that much eating and drinking, but it just isn't. And there used to be a time when you didn't find anyone who was morbidly obese. You would be very, very hard pushed. If you go back even 50 years, you'd have been very hard pushed to find anyone that size. Because guess what? First of all, none of this fast food crap that everybody's shoving into their mouths these days, right? None of it. People are eating goodness knows what. Goodness knows what. None of that. Plus, people didn't have all this disposable income to spend on takeaways and crap and just rubbish. They didn't have it. You know? And so I certainly throughout my entire childhood, I was always very aware of the fact, like on in the media, certainly it was always like healthy living was promoted. It was really promoted. Don't get me wrong. At the same time, like you'd still have adverts for McDonald's and Burger King and that kind of stuff. But healthy living was promoted. Like things they used to say. Like on these, there were adverts. I remember adverts when I was young, and it used to say, it was like a big slug on the advert, and it used to say, too much salt will lead to a heart attack. It was actually, there were adverts on the TV telling you, if you take in too much of this stuff, it's going to kill you, right? Now we've gone completely the other way. We are literally praising people purely for their morbid obesity, because none of these headlines, not one of these headlines is talking about her music. Not one of them. Not one of these headlines is saying Lizzo's vocal performance was outstanding. I mean, I don't know what she sings. So I don't know, but none of them. Not one of them. None of them are saying, like, you know, her contribution to whatever foundation she set up has been, you know, really good work. None of it. None of these stories are talking about how Lizzo's helping her community. No. They are purely based on her looks. Purely based on her looks and her size. Every single one of these. Every single one of them. Based on her looks and her size. So, you know, what are we to do? Are we really... Is this what we're teaching our kids? Wow. This is on fire. This is sensational. That's what we're teaching our kids. And of course, she's going to get swept up in that. And she obviously has. Because she set herself as the beauty standard and told everyone to catch up. It's absolutely insane. It's insanity, but it's dangerous because our kids will lap this up. And if you think they won't, you are kidding yourselves. I've been saying this for years. Kids are like little sponges. They soak everything up. And right now, let me tell you what they're soaking up. They're soaking up LGBTQPZ+ filth, degeneracy, propaganda. They are soaking up propaganda, which is promoting morbid obesity. They are soaking up propaganda of people being utter degenerates in society. Right? Sexual promiscuity, the trans agenda, mutilation of one's body. They're soaking all of this up. All of it. And unfortunately, for any parents watching who are sending their children to mainstream schools, you don't have a say about what those people are teaching your kids, because you're dropping them at the gate and you're leaving them there for hours and hours and hours, hours and hours and hours of indoctrination. And this is the kind of tripe that they'll be telling your kids. They will be portraying this as a positive body image. That's what they will be doing. And we all know that that isn't the case, but we have one of the highest levels of obesity in Europe in this country. That is not a coincidence. Now, this Lizzo creature might be based in the United States, but let's face it, and I hope I don't insult anybody in our brothers and sisters across the pond, but I think it's probably safe to say that you guys have got the same issue that we do in the UK in terms of fast food and obesity and the promotion of that lifestyle. It's gluttony, it's greed, and it's a strain on your arteries to be that size. Why are we promoting this as a good thing? Why don't we just start pumping out adverts telling people to start smoking again? You remember when they put those adverts all over the cigarette cases? Smoking kills you. Smoking will destroy your lungs. All of that, right? Listen, when they started doing that, I was a smoker. When the smoking ban came into force, I was a smoker. When I was really young, like I'm talking ridiculously young. I mean, I started smoking very, very young. I don't smoke anymore, thank goodness. But I started smoking very, very young. I got to the point in my teenage years at one point, I was working in pubs. I was smoking 60 cigarettes a day. Right, because I was working in pubs. I was working in pubs from like 7 in the morning, opening up, getting everything ready, getting everything sorted, until like 4 in the morning, because we were having lock-ins and we were in there constantly. I was smoking a lot of cigarettes. I can tell you that the smoking ban had a massive impact on my desire to continue smoking, because I didn't want to stand outside. I don't like the cold. I don't like the cold. I did not want to stand outside to smoke one of those filthy sticks that I'd been smoking for years. I didn't want to do it anymore. So it had a massive impact. So there have been these campaigns that they've rolled out, right, to try and save people's health on the same thing that they tax. They tax to high heavens. I'm fully aware of that. But they've run these campaigns over the years to try and curb people's intake of alcohol, to try and curb people's levels and usage of these gambling apps, right? They've tried, they've done all of these campaigns. They still exist. Campaigns to restrict people losing all their money through gambling. You know, I don't agree with any of it anyway, but the campaigns are there, allegedly, to try and help people. I think if they just banned the whole thing, it would help them more. But there we go. Who am I? But yet morbid obesity is just being hailed as this great thing. And it's really, really sad to see. It's sad to see for her as well as our kids, because, you know, there's a direct correlation with the promotion of this as a healthy body image. But anyway, let's move on to another mainstream media spin. This is disgusting, by the way. This is so vile. And I know people are sick of hearing about it, but I'm going to talk about it because it needs to be spoken about. I don't think we should sweep this kind of stuff under the carpet. This is just getting worse and worse and worse. Right, look at this. This popped up over the weekend on my timeline, and I just thought, this is possibly one of the most hideously contrived stunts, public stunts, that I have ever seen from any of these low-life narcissist scumbags. Here's Philip Schofield, who has been called out and exposed for, in my opinion and the opinion of many, many, many millions of other Brits, grooming a young lad, right? Philip Schofield met this chap, by all accounts, met this young boy when he was 10, when he visited his school. Right? Let me just repeat that. By his own admission, Philip Schofield went to this child's school. He said he gets invited to loads of schools. It was one of many schools that he went to. And he met the child. Apparently the child was 10 when he first met him. They then struck up a conversation on social media. Why? Why? Philip says they were just talking about work, because the child was expressing an interest in working in the media. So Philip Schofield then manages to wangle the 15-year-old child, yeah? Child, let's keep repeating this because it's very important, a job with ITV. And he maintains that nothing happened of a sexual nature between him and the child until the child was 18. 18. Right, so when he was 15, he was sorting him out with a job. He was talking to him about his career prospects, allegedly having met him at 10 years of age. Basically, look, I don't care what anyone says. In my opinion, that's grooming. I have, in my different capacities, really, and like whether it be in personal relationships, personal people that I know, friends of mine that have got kids, or whether it be through business, whether it be through activism, I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of people that have got children. I've met a lot of people that have got children that are like that age, primary school age. Yeah. And then years and years down the line, you see those kids and they're all grown up. I've done that. I've got godchildren. I see these kids years and years and years down the line. I see them and they're all grown up. When I say they're all grown up, I mean like they're in their 20s. They think they're all grown up, but they're not entirely all grown up. But, you know, they're grown up. Not to me, they're not. They're still children. They will always be children. They'll always be the little children that I knew back then. Always. So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Groomer. That's what's going on here. And if it... Look, the campaign by the mainstream media to protect this man is in overdrive. And this is absolutely hideous. This is absolutely hideous. So Philip Schofield... This was pictured at the weekend. Philip Schofield, Phil's heartbreak. Tender moment, devastated Philip Schofield comforts his mum as he gives her the news of his this morning sacking. Pull the other one because it's got bloody bells on it. And anyone who's falling for this tripe is absolutely insane. Or just thick as two planks. Utterly contrived, disgusting behaviour. You're telling me. Let's just get this out there. You're telling me that this man, who's 61 years of age, picked up his 82-year-old frail mother, took her to a park, sat her on a bench, and that was the setting where he decided to tell her that he's been dismissed from this morning because of allegations of him grooming a young lad. Bollocks. I'm sorry, excuse my language. I'm not having any of it. It just so happened that where he went and this public bench that he took his mother to, which he thought was going to be the best place for her out in public to break this news to her, to his elderly mother, there just so happened to be paparazzi there. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible that there's always a camera there when you need one? Hey, isn't that just so incredible? Bear in mind that this woman has just lost her other son, right? Because he's a nonce. He's a paedophile. He's been locked up. As far as I'm concerned, this poor woman is the victim here, as well as this young lad. She's a victim here. This is a man who has openly lied, right? Lied through his teeth, has spun all these different lines. And now he's trying to use the homophobia card. He's trying to say that I'm homophobic, right? People like me are homophobic because I'm speaking out against him. I'm saying that this was grooming. He said, no, these people are only doing this because I'm gay. No. And listen, everybody knows my feelings on homosexuality. Everybody knows that. So that's by the by. No, people are disgusted because this was a young lad and he was clearly groomed. And everyone around them now, everyone in ITV's complicit in this. I don't care what anyone says. They all are. They're all complicit. And here's Philip Schofield wheeling out his elderly mother for a paparazzi shot so that she can look all disturbed. I'm sure she is disturbed. I'm sure she is. Her other son has been locked up, banged up because he's a paedophile. And this son knew what the other son had done a long time ago, because the other son confided in him. So instead of Philip Schofield, and now we know why, instead of Philip Schofield going to the police and saying, my brother has been taking advantage of this child, like his brother's been taking advantage of a child. Doesn't it ring bells here? His brother had been taking advantage of a child, right? Sexually abusing and molesting a child. And Philip Schofield didn't see it prudent to go and report his brother to the police. Instead, he said, you really ought not to do that. Oh, well, that'll fix it. Hey, that'll fix it. These people are vermin. Yeah, Paul Telfer says, lied to his wife for years. Lied to his wife, lied to everybody. And now, this is everybody's jumping on. Now everyone's trying to scrap around and save themselves. So the mainstream media are on this mission to save Philip Schofield. They're talking about how it's such a terrible persecution of him. Shouldn't we lay off him? Piers Morgan's jumped on the bandwagon. Piers Morgan's publicly saying, we really should lay off of him. He actually hasn't done anything wrong. Really? Really? Can someone check his hard drive? Because alarm bells would ring there. Hey. Don't you find it slightly strange that Piers Morgan, who worked for the same organisation not so long ago, is coming out and publicly telling people that we ought to lay off Philip Schofield, despite a very clear timeline of events that he himself has admitted to, which in the public's view and the majority of people would say constitutes child grooming. The majority of normal thinking people would say that. Yet Piers Morgan, for some reason, who is one of the biggest gobshites on daytime television, is telling everyone, "Ah, oh, back off him. Don't you think we've done enough? He hasn't done anything wrong." Really? You got a few skeletons in your closet as well, mate. Check the hard drives. That's what I say. So Holly Willoughby came back to the programme this morning because they're all peddling this narrative that she didn't know. Right, all peddling the narrative that she didn't know. So Holly Willoughby gave this really condescending, you know, contrived, choreographed. She's there in her little white top and it's all buttoned up, looking very innocent and holier than thou. And she starts off by saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay, love? Are you okay? Because I'm pretty sure as a woman, as a mother, you ought to know better than to aiding and abetting this kind of behaviour. And I don't care. I don't give a rat's behind what anyone says. They all knew. Every single one of the people in that ITV studio, they knew." Listen, not only have we got an admission from Phil that this affair, and I don't want to call it an affair, I want to call it abuse, but this abuse had been going on for a considerable period of time. Right? Not only have we got the admission of the timeline of when he first met this boy, this young lad, at a school, and then the subsequent communication, "I'll get you a job." Really? Really? He's going to get a young lad a job. Why? Why is he so interested in this young lad's prospects and this young lad's future? Well, we know why. Because they then embarked on a sexual relationship which he had behind his wife's back. He lied to his wife. He lied to his children. Do not tell me. Do not tell me that anyone in that studio was under any illusion that this was not happening. No way. They all knew. You've seen the footage. Listen, somebody said to me the other day, "Well, just because there's a bit of footage of him standing on stage behind Holly Willoughby when they're accepting a BAFTA doesn't mean that everybody knew." Really, think about this. Think about this. This young lad was a runner for ITV. How many runners do you think there are in the ITV studio? Just think about this for a minute. How may anyone who's worked in media or had any experience in media, or actually just anyone with an ounce of common sense, think about this. How many runners do you think there are in the ITV studios? Why on earth would a runner be on stage with the producers and the front men and women, right, the presenters of a daytime TV show to accept an award? Why? Listen, they don't enter these institutions, the mainstream media, especially at these award ceremonies, they don't entertain the little people, you know. They're not interested in the little people. You've got to be a somebody. You've got to be in the clique. You've got to be in the little gang. He was in the gang and everybody knew he was in the gang. Holly Willoughby's trying to come out now and save her skin. It's desperate and pathetic. I guess she doesn't really have a choice. What's she going to do? Admit that she knew? We all know that she knew. We all know that. They all knew. All of them. Every single one of them. There ought to be a thorough investigation of every single outtake, every single bit of footage when the cameras carried on rolling, capturing these people. I've got a little clip here and I showed you this before. I'll show you again. Watch this clip. Tell me that she didn't know. Watch this clip and the little inside joke. Because see, I look at this clip and all I see is that Holly Willoughby found child grooming far more amusing when she thought that this was an inside joke. But now that it's in the public domain, she's going to sit there and tilt her head and say she's been betrayed and she just didn't know. Lies. He sat inches away from this woman for years and years and years, and he has admitted to having sexual relationship with this boy in the studios, right, in the building. There have been countless people that have worked in these studios that have said they witnessed it. We've even seen people who have gone on to the alternative media now and said they used to work in the ITV studios. They used to go to the local pub, the one that was just across the way from the studio, and there this young man would be sitting waiting for Philip. We've already seen in the media that Philip was using transport on expenses, ITV expenses, to bring this child, this young lad, maybe not a child now, maybe, but as far as I'm concerned, he'll always be a kid, right? Bring this young lad from his flat to and from the studios. Why was he at his flat? Come on. She's going to say she doesn't know. Here we go. Watch this one more time.
So, Holmes, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that was very good, actually. Tell you what.
So, Holmes, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that was very good, actually. Tell you what, don't get too comfy on this sofa. Phil spots you sitting here after that.
Come on. Come on. She didn't know. Just these little inside jokes. Oh, don't let him catch you. You'll be in trouble. They're sick. These people are perverted. That's what they are. They're sick. And look, I don't want to hear it anymore. People say, oh, yeah, but he's not a boy anymore. I don't care. I don't care. There is no difference, in my opinion. And let me just say, I had a conversation with someone about this at the weekend, right? And I feel strongly about this because I've worked with grooming victims for a very long time. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what this is. And I don't want to hear that it's not grooming because Philip Schofield's a celebrity or because this guy is now grown up. Listen, I know grooming victims who are now grown up. They're now adults. I know grooming victims who have got children, who have actually given birth to children that they conceived through the process of them being groomed and raped. Right? Really courageous young women. I know victims that have gone through that and they are adults now. Does that remove the liability and the culpability of their perpetrators? Of the perpetrators of these heinous crimes? The groomers? No. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Joseph says he should be arrested. 100% he should be arrested. He should be arrested and they should all be rounded up. All of them. It is so contrived and so transparent. It's unbelievable. And anyone that's buying it is just, well, look, as far as I'm concerned, you're just going to make yourself complicit. The more people buy into this. But it goes on and on and on. This culture that we've seen in the BBC, we've seen it in ITV, we saw it with Jimmy Savile, we saw it with Rolf Harris. We've seen it now, I believe, with Philip Schofield. And look, we've seen major celebrities, Michael Jackson, all of these accusations that come out, and people say they're unfounded, because you've got all these massive fans, so they'll be like, they're unfounded, you can't prove it. Yeah, it's just open your eyes. Open your eyes and open your bloody minds for a minute. And consider how you would feel if this was your child, your son. I was speaking to someone at the weekend and they said, no one had a problem when it was Cheryl Cole and that young lad out of One Direction. I did. I think if you scroll back, right, I'm pretty sure if someone can find it, feel free to use it. If someone can find it, I'm pretty certain that at the time I came out and said, this is disgusting. This is outrageous. And if this were one of mine, she'd have my foot up her backside, mate, out the door. Bye. I would not be putting up with that. Not be putting up with that. So it isn't just a man thing. It isn't just a homosexual thing. It's a celebrity culture. It's a power thing. It's a narcissistic power thing. These people need to be called out. Absolutely. But of course, you don't expect any different from the BBC. Let me show, or ITV. Let me show you what the BBC were peddling this week. Let me show you. Here we go. This is a clip from Casualty. It's a programme on the BBC. I don't watch the BBC. I hope none of you watch the BBC. If you do, I want you to watch this and I want you to seriously consider whether you should continue giving these people any money. If you've got a TV licence, I want you to seriously consider why you are paying this organisation, this institution, to pump out propaganda pre-watershed, which means our children have been exposed to this. Take a look.
I finally got the date for my top surgery.
What? Wow, that's, how are you feeling about it?
How's you feeling what about what?
Can I? Yeah. Sir, got the date for the top surgery.
And before you say anything, I know a double mastectomy is not to be taken lightly.
I didn't say anything.
Well, for now, at least, I'm just happy that'll finally look like the person I feel like on the inside. It's been a long time coming.
If you're sure that's what you want?
Yeah, it really is.
Then I'm pleased for you, really.
Right, I'm gonna stick kettle on. Celebration.
3019.
And yet the universe had other plans. Off you go, kiddie wing.
That's the BBC. That's the BBC pre-watershed programme promoting an elective double mastectomy as as treatment for mental illness. That's what that is. This mutilation of people's bodies, and this starts at a very young age, right? It starts at a very young age. But this mutilation of one's body to treat mental illness is probably one of the most bizarre and demonic phenomenons that we have seen in a long time. I mean, it really is. You know, there are certain concepts that I really, really just struggle to ever process. Abortion probably being the absolute top, right? I can't think of anything more heinous, more hideous, and more contrary to human emotion, human instinct, than to hack up and chop up and pull and dismember living human beings, defenseless human beings in the womb. I can't think of anything more hideous, more heinous. I just can't. This, I think, has probably got to be a close second. We are literally seeing the mainstream media promoting this damaging propaganda, this damaging agenda, which is that if you're uncomfortable, just lob some bits off or stick some bits on, change your gender. And this is pre-Watershed, so there will be children watching this. Again, normalising the abnormal. We saw it earlier. Lizzo, normalising obesity, morbid obesity. BBC there, Casualty, normalising, you know, people going through elective procedures to take parts of their body away so that they feel, they look like they feel. What do these people mean? This, and look, before anyone says, oh, well, it's an inward thing, isn't it strange how 20 years ago, this wasn't a thing? Isn't that bizarre? Isn't it strange how 20, 30 years ago, when I was a kid, yeah, when I was a nipper and a teen, there were no trannies. There were no people saying, there were people that were in drag. There were people, men that used to dress up as women, right? Not really women that used to dress up as men. Women would dress kind of butch, I guess. But there were certainly men that used to strut around. And we used to take the piss out of them, quite frankly. There was a program called Little Britain. And they used to do a sketch. And the men used to dress as women. And they used to say, we are ladies. We've come to use the ladies' changing room to go swimming because we're ladies. We've got our ladies' handbag. They used to take that. We used to rip it out of them because it's funny, right? It was funny back then because everybody acknowledged that it was crazy. Now, all of a sudden, there are vast swathes of youngsters literally going through these procedures to hack their bodies up, and they're being told it's being diagnosed and prescribed as treatment for mental illness. And your kids can watch that. Your kids can watch it. Paul says, have you seen the new lottery advert? No, I haven't. I'm sure you'll be able to send it to me, Paul, because you seem to get hold of all of it, but I haven't seen it. I daren't even imagine what it looks like. Before I go, I'm going to show you a video. It's a couple of minutes long. Take a little look. Because when we talk about the mainstream media, we're not just talking about the Daily Mail. We're not just talking about BBC, ITV. We're not just talking about all of these mainstream channels that have been around for a long time. But we're also, this also encompasses Netflix now. Netflix has been going for a very long time and it had a huge viewership, but it's dwindling. Netflix is really, really decreasing in numbers and its number of viewers. And it's because people are aware of its satanic agenda. And I don't use those terms lightly. You know, sometimes people bound these terms about as satanic. When I say that, I mean it. I absolutely mean it. I want you to take a little look at this video about Netflix and make your own decision as to whether you want to continue paying for that as well. You know, there's one thing I'm saying, defund the BBC, cancel your TV license. But how many of us are looking at all of these other platforms? And listen, I've had all of these platforms throughout my life. Like, I don't now. I don't watch a lot of TV now, but you know, there have been times when I have, not a TV license, obviously, but there have been times when I've subscribed to these platforms. And you know, it's an annoying thing where people say, well, stop watching that. You think, well, I don't want to stop watching it, but stop eating that. Boycott that. Boycott this. Right? We're boycotting Pride Month this month. And people are thinking, oh my goodness, Jada, you're telling me to boycott all this stuff, but these are brands that I like. Okay, don't boycott it, but this is what you're buying into.
Known as the father of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud claimed his father molested all of his siblings. Freud was a cocaine addict, as well as a pedophile advocate, who taught that children sexually lusted after their parents, and that children who reported sexual abuse by adults had either imagined or fantasized the experience. He believed that women were the problem with society, and all their problems stemmed from not having a penis. Freud's grandson, Sir Clement Freud, has been accused of molesting multiple young girls and was suspected in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. Sigmund Freud's sister, Anna Freud, whom Freud claimed was regularly molested and abused by their perverted father, gave birth to Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda. Bernays took his family's work in psychology and used it to help governments and corporations manipulate the minds of the public. Hired by the American Tobacco Company, Bernays manipulated women into buying more cigarettes by convincing them that smoking was a form of feminist liberation. During this propaganda campaign, he dubbed cigarettes torches of freedom. Thanks to Bernays and his family's twisted legacy, social engineering became big business. Modern psychology was used to exploit mankind's mental weaknesses, nurture the public's lower desires, and turn people into mindless consumers. Is it any surprise, then, that the great nephew of Edward Bernays is none other than Mark Bernays Randolph, the co-founder and original CEO of Netflix? Does anyone really think this is a coincidence? Netflix has not only replaced network television as the premier home of pop culture, it is also continuing the degenerate, depraved social engineering of the Bernays-Freud legacy. In 13 Reasons Why, Netflix was accused of romanticizing suicide during a recent increase of teenage suicides. In The Devil Next Door, they were accused of rewriting history to deceive viewers into believing that Poland was responsible for establishing Nazi death camps. In The First Temptation of Christ, Jesus Christ is depicted as a homosexual. And a Texas grand jury indicted Netflix for depicting child sex in the movie Cuties. Netflix and chill, the new preferred method for brainwashing the masses. Brought to you by one of the most depraved, degenerate families of the modern era. Turn it off and wake up. Known as the father of psychoanalysis.
There you go. Make of that what you will, but it's no coincidence. Again, they like to call of this conspiracy theories, but actually it's very well documented that these people have been peddling an agenda for generations. Right, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. I've just put a link up before I go, and I want to say thank you very much to everybody who has chipped into our Boycott Pride Month. We got some good stuff coming up on Friday about this, but we just didn't have time for it today. But thank you very much for those of you who are supporting it. It's a really, really important issue. I'm going to bombard you with a whole load of stuff on Friday, so I hope you're around to tune in. Hopefully I don't have another mishap with an eyeball. I should be here, God willing. But if you haven't managed to chip in already and you want to, there is a link in the chat. And listen, there have been some really generous donors, and it's, you know, the usual crowd that are sending donations in for this, which I'm always very grateful for, because there are some people that you can absolutely rely on, just like clockwork, to support our campaigns, and you are the backbone of this movement. You really are. And we've seen already how successful our campaigns can be, and this is probably one of the ones that I'm most passionate about, and you'll probably understand, you know, as I'm always called this, like, you know, I'm labelled by the mainstream media and the left wing, and even people that are on the right wing that don't like Christianity, right? They're just like godless and they just want to run around, charge around and cause havoc, and they don't really have the traditional values that we've got. They would say that I'm extreme, I'm a fanatic, I'm a Christian fanatic. Maybe I'm a Christian fanatic. This is one of the issues that I am so opposed to. It's the grooming and the sexualization and the exposure of all of this degeneracy to our children. That's what Pride Month is all about. It's all about that. So listen, no donation is too small. Right? There have been some really generous people, generous donations that have come in. And like I say, we've got people that, like clockwork, you know you can depend on them, the backbone of our movement. But if you're watching this and you're new, or you want to get involved, or you want to help in some way, no donation is too small. All of it helps. And it really does, because some of the achievements of our campaigns in the past, through everybody coming together, and chipping in whatever they can has been evident. It's made national headlines and we've celebrated them. One of the funniest ones, I think, was when we chased Nicola Sturgeon down the street. I think that was one of the highlights. But there have been many others that have been good stuff. So, look, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate everyone that's chipped in so far. And if you haven't yet and you want to, the link is in the chat. Right. I'm back on Wednesday at 5. No, sorry. Let me start that again. I'm back on Wednesday on the Templar Report at 4 p.m. if you want to tune into that. It's usually some Templar history, but we don't know this week what's coming up. We'll have to see. And then Friday, God willing, if the Lord spares me, I will be back to give you an update on the progress of some of the work that's already begun for boycotting Pride Month. And I'm hoping that we'll have some good results by Friday. So I'll just give you that little teaser now and hope that I can tease you to come back on Friday. God bless everyone. I hope the start of your week has been a good one. And take care. Enjoy the rest of it. I'll see you either Wednesday or Friday. God bless.